We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's roll into topic number three. We're going to broaden it out a little bit. We're going to talk a little college football. And we've got four conferences, Power Four, right? So the Power Four are expanding their conferences officially this year. Now, we all remember that the Big 12 started to expand last year. These conferences have been expanding, but this is the first year, I believe, all four are having a substantial expansion. Well, what is that going to look like?
I believe it's the first time all five were impacted significantly by it.
Yes, because the Pac-12 obviously was impacted because they just got stripped of all but two.
It's ironic because they kind of started this mess back in 2010 when they tried to raid the Big 12 for Texas and Oklahoma.
That's right.
That was the original deal. Remember that?
Yep.
And so
it's a long time ago. Yeah, I do, though. Yeah. I do remember that, but we are going to give a taste, basically, of the expansion. And we're going to rank how we feel these conferences have done with their expansion. And we didn't give any criteria to how these rankings are supposed to go. It's our opinions on how we feel the conferences have done. And we have not discussed this with each other. And I think that's going to be interesting because I think I may have gone off the beaten path here a little bit, as sometimes I do.
No
way. I know that's going to shock you in a lot of ways. And my theories will probably get holes poked through it, but that's okay.
It's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun.
As long as you stand by it and don't immediately give in when somebody pushes back on it.
Because when I went through this, Brian, and I'll kind of take a peek behind the curtain here for the way I went through this in my own brain, was, is this good for the overall health of the conference from a competition standpoint? Like, if I put myself in the position of one of the quote unquote lower teams in the conference, how would I feel about this expansion? Okay. That's kind of the way I took it. All right. And I do have, I don't want to say a clouded view. Yeah. I have a different view of these major conferences and how they're doing things, because of the recruiting thing that I'm going through with my son and some of the talks that he's been having. And it's like, okay, do you want to go be a part of one of these teams that are quote unquote power four, but just lose all the time?
Right.
Or do you want to go to a school where you've got a chance to get some wins
and
do
play,
some stuff?
Or play.
Yeah, and play. Correct.
Well, let's first share exactly what our criteria was.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Number one, for you, you explain what your criteria was for how. So basically the premise is, which conferences were most impacted by the expansion or the realignment that happened this offseason? And then we're going to rank who was most impacted positively to who was most impacted least, and not even necessarily negatively. It could all be positive, but the impact
least
was
positive.
As much.
Yeah, right.
So that was the criteria. So I'll have you start off, Vince, and share what the – because we purposely did not share each other's – like, here's what I have or you have. We purposely did not necessarily nail down the criteria because I wanted Vince to be able to kind of look at it in his own way without me, because I could lead him into the answer I want.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but that makes for a lot less fun discussion.
Yeah. 100%.
So that's why we're doing it the way that we're doing it. So I'll let you start off, Vince, and explain what your criteria was for how you look at it being impacted. And then I'll explain mine.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So for me, I looked at it from a competition standpoint. Okay. So again, if I put myself in the shoes of a current team that's in the conference and then in the shoes of a team that is entering into the conference and the potential to compete for a conference championship. Okay. And so my top criteria and the reason I picked a certain conference to be number one is because I think they enhanced the competition top to bottom of their conference. They didn't just make it more top heavy than it already was. Okay. And so that's why one of my conferences is probably lower, because I think they just kind of added to the top heaviness of the conference, which I don't think does the entire conference all that much good. And so do you want me to start at the top and then work down? How do you want to do that? That's my criteria. Well,
then our criteria is kind of similar. Okay. But I look at it beyond just the field. I also am going to look at it by, did you make your conference stronger in regard to protecting against future poaching, essentially? Okay. Or are you in a position to better than poach in the future? So I also looked at it like that, especially with the non-Big Two.
Yeah.
And so when I talk about the Big 12, for example, that'll be a big thing that I talk about. So mine was more partly on the field. Did you make your conference stronger? Is your on-field product stronger? Is your recruiting product as a league stronger now? How much stronger? And then also, what did you do as far as your impact on the off the field? How did you improve? Did you improve your brand or not? And I have some very interesting answers with some of these, especially the Big Ten.
Okay.
And so do we want to just kind of go your four and we'll discuss it, then my four, or do we want to each give our one and kind of go back and forth? How do you want to do that, Vince?
That's a good question. You want to go bottom up or you want to go top down?
Either one. I'm letting you kind of.
Okay. I get to leave this thing, huh?
Drive this boat there, buddy.
I'll tell you what. Why don't I give all four mine? I'll give a very brief reason why, and then you give all four of yours, and then we can kind of chat about it. How's that sound?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay. So for me, and the big one for me, and I think you may have dug a little deeper than I did, but the biggest one for me was competition across the board, and that's why I put the Big 12 number one for me, because I feel like the teams that are entering, so you got Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, okay. Now, I think that with the teams that were already in place, you adding these four teams, I think there's great competition here in the Big 12, top to bottom. I think that if you're at the bottom end of the Big 12, I think you have a legitimate shot changing a couple things here and there of jumping to the top of that conference, being able to compete for a conference title. I just think the distance between, let's say, whoever number one is and whoever the bottom team is a lot smaller than in other conferences. And so I feel like the competition level of the Big 12 is better to me. Like, I don't feel like there's the haves and the have-nots. You know, there are to a degree, but overall, I feel like the distance between the top and the bottom is a lot smaller than in other conferences. So they're my number one. My number two is the SEC. Now, I believe they brought in the least amount of teams in this particular round. They brought in Texas and Oklahoma. But those are some big brands, man. Like, Texas and Oklahoma are big brands. And I feel like that helps the SEC from a power standpoint. It just does. Those are big brands. Those guys carry big sticks, especially Texas. You know, no matter what people think, Texas still has, they're still Texas. And so I think bringing them into the SEC, it might lower Texas from a Texas standpoint, but I think it enhances the SEC. So they're my number two. My number three is the Big Ten. Now, they're my number three because I don't know that bringing in the West Coast teams help the Big Ten, because when I think of the Big Ten, it's not the West Coast. Like, that, it hurts my vision of who the Big Ten is, right? Big Ten is like, run it down your throat in the snow and, like, you know, all these different things. And that is not who any of these four teams are that are coming into the Big Ten. So I feel like the Big Ten has a bit of an identity problem, in my opinion. And so that's why they hit number three for me. But now that, you know, USC, UCLA, those are big brands, right? Washington on the West Coast is a big brand. So and Oregon, because of Nike, they're a big brand. So that obviously helps the Big Ten. So that got them above the ACC, who I obviously put number four. But I just don't know that it fits the image of the Big Ten. And so that's why they dipped to number three for me. And then the ACC, I just feel like they're picking up scraps. I don't know that I don't think that Stanford, Cal, SMU helps the competitive balance of the ACC, in my opinion. I don't think it does anything for them. It does something for them off the field with the academic piece and all of that. I get that part of it from a football standpoint, though. I just don't think it helps them out. I think they were kind of forced into that a little bit by Notre Dame. I don't like it. I think it's weird. It doesn't fit the ACC profile either. And so that one is number four for me. So that's kind of a brief rundown of the way I did my four.
All right. I like that we decided to go get yours out and then I'll do mine. I think that makes sense because it allows just a little bit more free flowing. Here's where I'm at. My ranking is very different than yours.
And I figured it would be.
Good with everything you said, but here's where I'm going. Number one, I'm going Big Ten number one. And here's why I say the Big Ten number one. I actually think the Big Ten helped its brand with these moves because, to me, the Big Ten had become so Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State driven. The rest of the league was so irrelevant. Like, the Big Ten title game was the most anticlimactic. It became worse than the ACC title game. You know, we had Clemson and Florida State on one side. And then, I mean, they were like, think about who Clemson's played in the ACC championship game in recent years. Like, they played a Pitt team that was 7-5. They've played Duke. They've played North Carolina. They had one year that they played Miami, Virginia Tech. Like, it's kind of like, well, we already won the title, right? Well, yeah, Notre Dame the one year is about the only exciting ACC title game we've seen. There's the one year is Pitt versus Wake Forest. You're like, they have the worst matchups. And then the Big Ten was getting really – like, the Big Ten early on when they started this had some – I mean, because you had Wisconsin was a really good team, and Michigan State had some really good teams. And so you had some of those. But then Michigan State eventually kind of falls back, and the West becomes just – you know, it's just a joke, honestly. And the brand had been hurt, in my opinion, from a football strength standpoint. Like, now, the Big Ten wields a lot of power off the field from a – you know, because it's got a big fan base – because it's a bunch of giant public institutions with, you know, 40, 50,000 students that create masses of alumni, right? Where the ACC is a lot of small private schools or small public schools, like Virginia's a public school. Virginia's much smaller. But when you look at it, it was a heavyweight off the field, but the on-field product kind of sucked. And I think that's hurt Ohio State and Michigan to a degree. Now, this year, Michigan was able to overcome it, but I think it's hurt Ohio State in the past because they would just kind of steamroll these teams and then just, you know, play a completely different brand of football, because that's the other part I'm going to talk about. And then they'd get to these Clemson in the postseason, and Clemson's playing with speed and tempo, and it's like, dude, we just got done playing like Wisconsin and Michigan State and Iowa, and then now we got to – in Michigan, and now we got to go play this fast-paced up-tempo. Yeah, we have athletes, but we're not used to that style of play. So, number one, you now have powers, and Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State are still, you know, big brand powers. And then there was a big drop-off between, like, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan State. Now you've got Ohio State. You've got Penn State. You've got Michigan. You now have USC. You now have Oregon. So you now have five brand powers. I don't view Washington as the same type of brand power right now, but they can be if they can keep what Kalen DeBoer started rolling. They've just been so inconsistent the last 20 years that they kind of lost some of their luster a little bit. UCLA is just an LA market. That doesn't bring any brand value to you in a football standpoint. That'll be a different conversation when we start talking basketball, right? They bring a lot more brand value in basketball. But what you now have done is you now have five brand powerhouse football programs. Now, I know USC is down right now, but USC is still USC from a brand standpoint. And USC can get it turned around just like that. Here's the second part of it. You have now brought in different styles of play that the Big Ten desperately needed, in that you brought in Oregon with their athletes and their tempo. You've brought in USC with their athletes. You bring in Washington with their athletes. UCLA, let's see what they do with this new coaching staff, what direction they go, because they've been a – actually, what's funny is we talked about this, Vince. UCLA is a Big Ten team playing in L.A. under Chip Kelly. The style of, you know, running the ball, play action, power football, play defense. Like, that's – in 2023, they were more of a Big Ten style of team than Ohio State was. As far as, like, when you consider the traditional, when you think Big Ten football, you think this. I'm talking about style of play. It's not a knock on Ohio State. It's just like that's what Wisconsin did, and that's what Iowa does, and that's what Michigan does, right?
Sure.
So when I look at it, Vince, they don't really move the needle at all. But Oregon absolutely does. USC absolutely does from a brand standpoint. And if USC can get back to being good, and I think that they will, you now have a legit top power, and now the depth is even greater. Because now, instead of hoping that Iowa or Wisconsin could be your fourth or fifth best teams, now they're battling for 7, 8, 9 in a lot of years. And if they're going to stick – and now you have now said to those teams, hey, if you guys want to continue being relevant – you now have to be more willing to spend in your football program. You can't just go dominate the West with these teams that don't spend like Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. If you guys want to stay relevant, because we just added some brand, but we also added some money shakers and movers and spenders, you guys better step this sucker up or you're going to get left by the wayside. And now those teams, those schools have to make decisions. How serious are we about fielding a competitive football team? If you're Wisconsin and Iowa and Minnesota, in Nebraska, and you got to ask yourself, how serious are we about football? Because, like, we could keep doing what we're doing and keep winning the West. And, yeah, so we get beat by Ohio State. So what? We don't care about that. We cared about winning the West and getting to some good bowl game. Now, how much do you enjoy being 7-5 every year now? Because now we've added this brand of football, these quality teams. So we're now – there's 5, 6 really good football teams in this league. So, to me – the on-field product was significantly helped, and we also can't ignore the fact that you just added the LA market and the Northwest to your league. Now, I don't think the Northwest is a huge brand impact off the field, which is why the Big Ten was originally not super fired up about adding Oregon and Washington, because, again, it wasn't about football. They added none of these teams for football.
Correct.
They added them for money. Now, we're talking football, but that's not why it was done.
Right.
That's why the Big Ten initially was reluctant to add those teams and why they made those teams take smaller deals than what they did with USC and UCLA. Right? Because it's, you know, yeah, you're going to help our football team, but that's not what these deals are about. These deals are about, do you add it? And Oregon, Portland and Eugene and Seattle are more like, especially Seattle's still a, that's still an NFL town, not a college football town to the degree that maybe some others are. So that's, but I still think the on-field brand was impactful combined with the LA market that I think the Big Ten gets the deal. Here's why the Big 12 is number two and not number one for me, Vince, because you talked about what they added, but the thing that you made that had the S, because you had the SEC number two, right?
Yes.
Because they added Texas and Oklahoma. Where'd those teams come from?
The Big 12.
So you just lost your two biggest brands. Now, what I would say is I still have the number two because I think they did a great job of salvaging themselves.
100%.
Because 100%. You added quality football programs. But here's the other thing. I'll talk football first, and then I'll talk the markets.
Yeah.
Adding Utah to your league, that's a team that has some national respect from a football standpoint. Not like they should, but they do.
Yeah.
That's a quality football program. Colorado's a name program. They're not very good right now, but it's still Colorado. And you add some nostalgia by bringing Colorado back. Because Colorado's I mean, Colorado's been part of that league longer than Texas was. Texas didn't join that league until the 90s. They were part of the Southwest Conference forever. Oklahoma was a Big 8 team. Nebraska was a Big 8 team. But Texas, until the 90s, was part of the Southwest Conference. Colorado was a longtime Big 8 program. And so you've now brought back some nostalgia, so there's still something still there from the original Big 8. Because I'm gonna look at it right now, Vince. Because you've lost. Obviously, you have Oklahoma State is still part of it. Iowa State still part of it. Kansas State are still part of it. But everybody else, I said Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State. That's the only four members left. Would have been the only four members left from the original Big Eight. Because Colorado was in the Big 12. You had Missouri's been in the SEC, Nebraska left for the Big Ten, and then Oklahoma left for the SEC. So now you bring Colorado back. Now you have five of the original eight are now back. So at least you have that. You have some of that nostalgia.
Sure.
But you've also added – so I don't think Arizona and Arizona State move the needle football-wise right now.
Agreed.
Yes, Arizona's coming off of a good year, but it doesn't – they're quality football programs, but they're not number two because of that. They're number two because they added Utah, which is huge. They added Colorado, which is going to give you something to discuss.
It's huge. I mean, with right. Prime and yeah.
And that was going to be the other piece is you brought a name, brought a brand into that league on top of one of the OG teams from your league.
Right.
But here's the big part. Salt Lake City market, Denver market, Phoenix market are now part of the Big 12. They desperately need that. Guys, they're going to lose some of the Dallas market, but people in Dallas are not completely abandoning the Big 12. There's still going to be a presence there. But you now have, in my opinion, and this is why I think the Big 12 made a mistake not going for SMU. I think that, but TCU is in Fort Worth. That's right outside the Dallas market. And so, you know, to me, you know, I think that's the big thing, you know. Sorry, Vince, I just had to send you that real quick. That's why I think that they helped themselves because losing Texas and Oklahoma was huge for them, football wise and brand wise and market, like especially losing Texas. Oklahoma, I don't think matters as much to me. I think losing Texas was the big one. But you've now basically got four teams to replace two from a market standpoint, which now makes them a little bit more attractive come the next negotiation period for TV revenue. And so I think the Big 12, where they were smart, see the Pac-12 basically, it's like there was a war going on around them, and they were just going like this and pretending like it wasn't going on and had no plan for if this one plan didn't happen, we're effed.
Yeah.
They were completely caught off guard by this move.
Right.
Where the Big 12 president and the commissioner, and I'll give him a lot of credit because he was like, look, we're going to be prepared for this. We know Texas and Oklahoma might leave. What's our plan if that happens? They were very proactive going to get Colorado. That was the first domino to fall. And as soon as the Pac-12 started to go under, they were very strategic about Utah, Arizona, Arizona State. They didn't panic and try to get Cal and Stanford, who don't bring a lot of value. They tried to get Oregon and Washington, but weren't willing to overcommit to them, which is smart. Utah, Arizona, Arizona State. And remember, Colorado already committed previously. Colorado, I think, was actually the they jumped before Oregon and Washington did, if I remember correctly. Then UCLA and USC were first.
Yeah, right.
And then Colorado did something during the season.
Yeah.
Or right before the season. And then after the season, it was UCLA or Oregon and Washington. They were very targeted in who they wanted, and they moved quickly to get those teams. And so keeping yourself, I mean, you look at the Big 12. Do they have any powerhouse programs? No. But the Big 12 has some good football programs in there. Yes. Utah's been a very good football team for a while. TCU was just in the college football playoff. Oklahoma State's played in a whole lot more New Year's Six bowl games the last 10 years than Notre Dame has. You know what I mean? And they're a perennial 10-plus win football team. You know, Baylor's had some years recently. Kansas is ascending. Kansas State's a really good football program. So, and then you've added the name in Colorado with Deion. And Arizona State has had some good years in the past. Arizona hasn't been good in a while until this past year. But the point is, there's some really quality football leagues now. BYU, Cincinnati, West Virginia is coming off of a 9-win season. So you've, in my opinion, the Big 12 was able to make themselves still a very quality football conference. And while doing so, adding some markets that are going to make their brand better. Maybe not better than if Texas and Oklahoma would have stayed. But you know what? Maybe. Because especially with that Phoenix market was huge because of how much Arizona's growing. Denver's still a growing market. Salt Lake City is a growing market. Those are growing markets. And so I think that's where I go with the Big Ten number two. Here's why I go with the SEC number three, Vince, because they added some big brands. But do you look at the SEC and are you like, wow, I didn't think they were great before. Now they are. It's kind of like they were already pretty good. They made themselves a little better football-wise. The biggest thing for the SEC was just adding that Dallas market. That was really the biggest part of that. I mean, Texas has had how many 10-plus win seasons in the last decade? One or two? You know, Oklahoma's had some big things. But look how quickly Oklahoma fell off after Lincoln Riley left. So I think Texas was a big ad. That was by far the biggest ad because the on and off field impact.
Yep.
But I don't know that I think the SEC really moved the needle much. Like, is the SEC all of a sudden a way better brand? Are they going to all of a sudden make tons more money, in my opinion, because now they have Texas and Oklahoma? If Texas is good, but what if Texas goes back to not being good again? So it could potentially be good enough to bump them up a little bit, but right now it's like, and it was only two. I don't think Oklahoma does a thing for the SEC, in my opinion. I don't. I think Texas is the only one that moves the needle for me.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That to me, and somebody else made a good point, and I didn't say this because I'm looking at it from a football standpoint, but the Big 12 was also really trying to align itself as the premier basketball league, which also has some negotiating power for the next TV deal.
Yeah,
for sure. It still does have some of that. And so a good comment on that, D-Rock. Very good observation on that. So I go SEC number three.
Okay.
ACC's number four, Vince, here's the thing, the ACC added no value from a football standpoint. None.
Zero.
They added very little value from a TV deal because they're going to somewhat tap into the Dallas market with SMU. But SMU is not a huge draw in Dallas, like, because there's the Cowboys, there's Texas, there's Oklahoma, which is, let's be honest, it's a couple hours away. A lot of Oklahoma fans in Dallas.
Sure.
Then there's TCU, which is right over Fort Worth. Then there's SMU. There's a reason SMU is not a team that the Big 12 was like, we got to get SMU, you know?
It's funny because I was in the Dallas airport in January, and you know, obviously they had stores like just for the Dallas Cowboys, and this is just in the airport. But then you had very targeted marketing by SMU to be Dallas's college team. You know what I mean? And when you see the very targeted marketing, you know they're trying really hard, but they're probably not hitting the mark. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? And so, like, Rutgers is trying to be New York's college team, and you see Northwestern trying to be Chicago's college team. And it's just like, are you? You know what I mean? And so that was very much the feeling that I got as we were walking around the airport that day. Even my son was like, what team is that? You know what I mean? So it's just like, I had to explain to him who SMU was and the whole thing. But like, it's not, they're not the college. They're not the Dallas market. I guess that's the best way I can
put it to my sport. They're just not. And that's a reason that there's a reason that the SEC didn't want them. There's a reason the Pac-12 didn't want them.
Right.
There's a reason the Big 12 didn't want them. Now, does it add a little bit of value to the ACC? Sure. A little bit. Not a lot.
Right.
And, you know, the weekend of that Texas-Oklahoma game, they're not like, yeah, but we got SMU versus Clemson.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, a what? So, I mean, but here's what they did that was smart, Vince. So right now, before this, the ACC had 14 football leagues, right? Four football teams. And this is where I think Jim Phillips is not getting enough credit for why he overrid certain teams in the league who didn't want – a lot of the teams in the league didn't want the three that they added. But Jim Phillips and Jack Swarbrick swung some big sticks.
Yeah.
And got enough people to vote for him. And here's why they were smart about it. Because Jim Phillips is looking at saying, we're a 14-team football league. My understanding is they can't fall below 14. There's a certain threshold, and I believe it's 14, that if they fall under this, they can then have their contract voided with ESPN.
Oh,
and then they lose a lot of their bargaining power. So now, by adding these three teams, you're now up to 17 football members because Notre Dame doesn't count as a football member, even though they're the 15th ACC team. So now you're up to 17, which means you could lose three teams from your league and still be at the threshold to where your conference then doesn't become.
I didn't even know that. Well done.
So that was, to me, a savvy move by Jim Phillips. Like, it's not – it doesn't add value to here, but this can help keep us alive long enough to deal with some of this other stuff.
Which they just had a front row seat to watching the Pac-12.
Correct.
Not to be proactive about things, and now they don't have a conference anymore. Right. I mean, for all intents and purposes.
Yep. So I'd have to look up the specifics of that, Vince – of what the actual number is for the ACC, but that was a part of this conversation that factors into this for the ACC as well, why that was a smart move. So even though the ACC is by far the number four team in all this realignment stuff, and what hurt them is they didn't add anything that actually made their league any better in football. It doesn't at all.
Right.
You know, SMU is the best football ad to that league. Think about that. And it doesn't add a ton in basketball. I mean, you know, SMU, Andy Enfield just got hired by SMU as their basketball coach. I mean, they've had a decent basketball team. Stanford's been inconsistent. Cal hasn't been good in a few years. I mean, you don't add a lot to the basketball league. Where you look at what the Big 12 has done in recent years, they've added a lot. Like, oh, I don't care about Cincinnati football and BYU football and Arizona football and Arizona State football. But you know what? They just added to the league. Arizona basketball, BYU basketball, West Virginia basketball, Cincinnati basketball. You know, Bobby Hurley's now in the Big 12. He's the Arizona State basketball coach. Colorado was just in the NCAA tournament, and they've been a pretty good basketball team in recent years. Utah historically has been a really good basketball league. And so that's where the Big 12 is doing that. That's not the case for the ACC. They didn't do anything that strengthened their basketball league. And that's something that, to me, that has been the biggest mistake that Jim Swofford made as the ACC commissioner, is he let the basketball brand be weakened by his obsession with the football brand. The smart thing that the current Big 12 commissioner did, and Bob Bowlesby did to a degree, is they understand we can't compete with the Big 10 and the SEC when it comes to football power, even with Texas, because it's Texas, Oklahoma, and then the rest of your elite teams are in Fort Worth, Ames, Iowa, you know, Lawrence, Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas, Waco, Texas, you know what I mean?
Middle of nowhere.
We can't compete with the TV markets, but here's what we can do. We're going to make sure that our basketball brand is powerful enough to where it's going to be harder for us to get rated. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but it gives them greater sustainability because there is still some value in basketball. Not like it was back in the day when the Big East turned this whole thing on its head, right? So I think the Big 12 was smart in ways that the ACC was not. And I think that's been something that's really hurt that league, is that they did not do enough. Like, the ACC is not considered the league. Like, when you and I were growing up, it was the ACC, the Big East, and then Big 10, and then the Big 12, and then the SEC in basketball. It's like Kentucky, and then like
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and then it would flip around sometimes from year to year who was the best, but like ACC and Big East were the two big basketball leagues.
Big East, man, was like a beast.
Yes, and then when the Big East went away, it's like ACC is the premier basketball league. That's not the case anymore.
Right.
And
honestly, I'd rather enough
to build that brand up.
I'd kind of rather have Notre Dame be in the Big East when it comes to basketball.
Agree. Right?
The current Big East. You know what I mean? Yeah. But,
well, and that's why people are like, this is what's funny, is when they tried to add UConn. The Big 12 tried to add UConn a year or two ago. And people are like, why would you want to add UConn? Their football program sucks. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. This is not a football move. This is a basketball move.
Right.
And so I think that's where I give the Big 12 a lot of credit. Because to your point, the Big East, I mean, you're talking about UConn, Marquette, Creighton, Seton Hall, St. John's, Villanova, Providence, Butler, Xavier, Georgetown, DePaul.
It's a good basketball conference.
Notre Dame has more in common with that league and from a schools and basketball standpoint than they do the ACC.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'd be totally fine. And who's Notre Dame's women's biggest rival in basketball? UConn. Who's their biggest rival? It's UConn.
And that's what always – and I'm not saying the Big East would be like a fallback position for Notre Dame, but like, let's say things blew up with the ACC. I'd be totally fine with Notre Dame picking up all their sports and going over to the Big East.
I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and here's where a lot of Notre Dame fans are missing the boat when they say if the ACC goes away, they're going to be screwed. They're going to be forced to join the Big Ten. I think you guys got to stop looking at all this. Why are you concerned about what league Notre Dame is going to join for non-football sports as being the driver? Notre Dame would easily go back to the Big East.
And they would easily gladly take them. I'm telling you.
Yes. And they'll get paid a certain degree. They won't get paid like they are in the ACC, but with the big TV deal they just got from NBC. So, like, you guys got to stop looking at this from a purely football standpoint for Notre Dame.
Yep.
Notre Dame can take care – their football program can take care of itself. They need a landing spot for their Olympic sports teams. And there's the AAC also.
Yeah, good point.
That would look at Notre – would gladly take Notre Dame in those sports.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So, yes, they're going to be fine there. But I think the ACC has really hurt itself, in my opinion. But I also think it was smart to add the three teams that they did. their inability to add anybody else has hurt them, to be honest with you. And they tried to build themselves up when the Big East broke up. You know, they went out and added Pitt and Syracuse. But again, those are basketball programs. Mm-hmm. Those aren't football programs. And so they did that, and it didn't add what they thought. And then I think they then went into over-focus on football, and it allowed the basketball league to slip. But it's also the schools are responsible for that, because the schools haven't committed the resources to sports like in the ACC like they have in other conferences. And that's just a fact. So there's a lot of reasons why the ACC is struggling right now. But now they at least have a little bit of a breathing room for if some schools leave, that they can still say, hey, you've got to honor this contract because we're still at the threshold of teams that we needed to be at.
I didn't even realize that.
So, but they're by far fourth. So I'm going Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, and ACC. That's mine. And then, of course, the Pac-2.
I mean,
way bottom of that list.
They're not even a part of the conversation. Because I am intrigued, though, as to what they're going to do. Are they just going to let those two teams just go to the Mountain West, call it a day?
Or are they going to swallow the Mountain West? Yeah. So one of the things that happened, Vince, was they negotiated some deals to where they're going to keep a ton of the money that was due to the Pac-12 schools. They're giving those teams kind of a little bit of money, and then they got to pay something to get out. But they're going to have a lot of money on their hands moving forward, which means they'll have a little bit more to play with when it comes to trying to poach some of those Mountain West teams. Now, here's the question that you'll have. Will the Pac-12 be able to recover as a football conference, or will their moves be more geared towards Olympic sports? That's the question. Because if the Pac-12 can present an option for, hey, we're a little bit back to relevance here, then maybe they can eventually get Stanford and Cal back and maybe get SMU from the ACC, although I don't think SMU would be willing to do that. Because the wild thing is SMU has a ton of money. And SMU's donors are like, you guys can, as negotiating part of the ACC, we will not take any TV money from the ACC for like 5 years.
Yeah, and they can do it.
Not many teams can do that. But my whole thing is with SMU is, and maybe you guys should think about becoming an independent in football. You know what I mean? But that they would have a tougher time with their other sports. But it's an interesting situation, Vince. But I don't know what they're going to do, but they do at least have some money to work with to pay some buyouts for some of these teams. Yeah. You know, but does that mean that they try to just be like the Big East and just
not have football?
Maybe we have football, maybe we don't.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Oregon State and Washington State go independent for football, or maybe they negotiate some deals where they can get them into a league for football. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what direction they're going to go, because it's hard to do that when you don't have, you can have all this extra money floating around that you want, but if you don't have a TV contract, then it doesn't matter, because that money's going to dry up real fast.
Oh, sure.
But they're going to have some vision for what's coming, and I'm very curious to see what the new leadership at the Pac-2, and I don't even know who is in charge of the Big Pac-2 anymore. But it's going to be very fascinating to see what they do moving forward. Very, very fascinating.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, that's your teaser, folks.
Oh, I want to say one other thing.
Oh, yep.
The Big 12 was also positioning itself to where if some of these AC, somebody mentioned in the chat, and it just popped in my head. They're actually like, not enough people are talking about the Big 12 as being a potential landing spot for some of these ACC teams that won out, because it's not a given that the Big 10 or the SEC even want Florida State or Clemson.
Sure.
It's not a given. So you could see a scenario, because they don't add any like TV deal money. They don't add any TV value. They just take away from everybody else.
Right.
Don't be shocked if the Big 12 tries to do something with those two teams to make it attractive for them to, hey, you know what, we'll give you a, you know, this kind of share, or we'll give you this, or we'll give you some of this perk or this bonus.
It could be super attractive to teams like that, though, because it's like, hey, now you're going to be the face of the Big 12.
Yep.
You know, remember how Oklahoma and Texas were the face of the Big 12? That is now you. Come on over.
It may not work, but I love the fact that the Big 12 has a vision to try to survive in this moment.
Good where
the
Pac
12 just kind of let themselves die, because that's horrible leadership.
Right.
And they were just like literally ears plugged, eyes closed to what was happening around them. Yes. And that's why they had no plan.
And they just got poached.
Yeah. And they deserve it, in my opinion, because they started all this crap when they tried to poach Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12. So that's what you get, you know. The only endearing fact to the Pac-12 is that they at least were smart enough to have their league name change with the number of teams that they had.
Yeah, it's the only thing that they've done.
Went Pac-8, Pac-10, yeah. Pac-12, Pac-14, you know what I mean? And just whatever. But that's about the only good thing I can say about the Pac-12, honest with you.
That's
very, very poor leadership.
So that's going to do it for our little sneak peek into the ever-changing landscape of conference realignment and everything else. And so one thing we know going into the 24 season is at least we know what the conferences are going to look like. We don't know how it's going to end up, but that's what we know going in. And so it's going to take me so long to readjust my brain to who belongs where and is this a conference game? Is this not a conference game? You know, and how all this goes. Like my brain is still stuck in like 2005. Like that's where I'm at. So it's going to take me a minute, but yep. What happens when you get old, you got to be able to adjust. So, but that, like I said, like Brian said earlier, we are going to kind of take this topic and dissect it even more. And we'll have a show on the Big 12. We'll have a show on the ACC. We'll have a show on the Big 10, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of what that is going to look like and what it's going to look like with the teams coming in and any teams that may have gone out, Big 12, what that looks like and how the competitive they will or will not be. The Big 10 is going to be fascinating to me because I think some of those lower teams have just cemented themselves in the basement.
Like that's going to be the interesting thing, Vince, is how does those additions could potentially just destroy. Like Iowa's going to have a real tough time if they stay the way that they are right now to continue to be a 10 plus win team that they have been. Wisconsin's going to have a much tougher road to getting back to the way that they were. But I'm like, you voted for this.
Because they were all thinking about the money. That's all they cared about.
You voted for this.
Yeah.
You chose this. If Michigan State and Wisconsin and Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska all would have said, no, we don't want this, you know, then guess what? It wouldn't have happened. But they all got presented a dollar figure and they're like, hey, you know, this is a good amount of money. We may not be relevant in sports moving forward, but hey, you know, we have this money now.
Like the IUs and the Purdues of the world, you have just cemented yourself in the bottom half of the Big Ten
for football.
For football. Yeah.
And I think some of them are okay with that. I don't think Purdue gives a rip about being good at football. Honestly, now they're probably smart not to take that football money and build the best basketball program and that you can.
Sure.
Build your baseball. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to get our money. There's no way in football we can compete with these teams.
No chance.
So go out and throw a ton of money at the basketball program. Because here's the thing with basketball. Here's the hard part for programs like that. In NIL, I can't possibly buy enough players in football to be competitive against Ohio State, Michigan. But you know what? I only need to get two basketball players a year to make a big impact in basketball. And then do what I – you know, so – that's a lot easier for boosters to do that than it is for them to field a competitive football team.
You're not wrong. So
I think part of it is they knew exactly what was going to happen to their football programs. And I just don't think they cared because they're going to get the football money. Whatever happens to football happens, but we're going to build up these other sports and be really good at these other sports and use that money to build up these other sports. Notre Dame kind of did that too. Notre Dame knew that they were about to go into a windfall in the next couple of years. And so they kind of, we're more willing to say now's the time to let's build up our facilities and these other things and these other sports, commit more money to make sure that they got Michael Shrewsbury, which was not cheap, by the way, to buy him out at Penn State and to give him a new contract. So I think that's honestly what you're going to see. I don't think Michigan State's going to really care as much about not being great at football. If you can, great. If not, you know, but we're still going to make sure we're a great basketball program. We're going to spend our NIL money more so here than there because we've got our TV. Because there's nothing – like, here's something that people have said. Do you think the Big Ten will buy out these teams that suck, blah? No, they're not going because they don't care if they're good or not. There's no like, well, you're out because you're not good. Somebody has to finish in last place.
Right.
Might as well be a team in the New York market or the D.C. market. Right? Doesn't matter. And so you're not going to get kicked out because you suck in that sport. In football, but use that money to make sure that Purdue, guys, you are never going to compete in the Big Ten like that ever. You never have. I mean, back in the 60s with Bob Greasy, you had some great teams. But even those great Drew Brees Purdue teams, they were like top 15. They weren't like, man, Purdue.
Right.
I think they like made the Rose Bowl one year against Washington.
They did.
But they were like borderline national championship teams. They weren't that. But use that money to make sure that your basketball team is doing what they're doing this year, every year.
Right.
You know, there's no reason for them not to be that. And so I think that's something. Don't be shocked if that's something you see from some of those bottom dwellers. Hey, we don't care that we're going to suck in football now because we're going to get this huge payday and we're going to go be a great basketball team.
Which is crazy.
You know, I get it.
I get it. I totally get it. I totally get it. But it's just nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But okay, here we are. Here we are. Here we are. So, again, make sure you stay tuned because we are going to be breaking down this topic even more as we move forward because we got lots of shows between now and fall, and we're looking forward to it. Tomorrow, we've got another open practice.
Did you see the decision that I made during the show?
No.
Remember, you and I decided? To mute me
because I keep sniffling?
No.
Not that. That was a good decision.
That was a smart
good decision.
No, we talked about depending on how things go, we may do another promo mailbag.
So yes, yeah,
we're gonna do that.
Okay, well, see, I didn't even know that. All right, because I got the comments.
Because I told that's what I'm telling you because you didn't have the chat on. So I went ahead and made that decision. So we're gonna wrap this segment up, and we got a mailbag coming up. But before we do that, folks, hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit the notification bell. And there's a discussion going on in the chat, Vince, about whether someone should or shouldn't join the message board. And
The
answer is you should.
Come on.
You definitely should. You're going to definitely miss a lot. So I only muted Vince when he was not talking because he's a little under the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little sniffly today. So,
And
I've had to do that to myself at times as well when I'm a little under the weather because you don't really think about it.
Right.
But yeah, we're going to have a mailbag next, Vince. But I enjoyed that topic. And we're going to try to do more college football topics this summer because Vince and I, so I was finally able to convince Vince. Is it still, can I say it? Vince has done a lot of summer school in the past, as you guys know, but Vince and I worked out a deal where he's not going to do summer school this year. So all summer, except for there's going to be like family vacation and some trips with his son, but a ton of OGs on the afternoon show during the summer. So we're going to have a lot of these multiple topic shows, but we're going to start adding more college football stuff on the back end of the shows. We will then upload those. They'll be on the Irish Breakdown YouTube and Rumble show, but we will take that and put it on the CFB Nation podcast platform. So the segment we just did will be on the CFB Nation podcast platform, which is why you need to be a member there and check that out. So make sure you do that. Like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, but don't go anywhere because we have a mailbag coming up next.